Today I'd like to teach on believing versus fear. And believing versus fear is a really very important topic, and I think the whole day today is going to be on believing. We're going to have four teachings today on believing and hit believing from different aspects. We learned yesterday about what we have in Christ and the new birth, and a really cool thing after learning about it is believing it, right? We have the Bible, we have promises, we have all this cool stuff, and it's really good to be able to believe it. You know, this believing is a very important topic in God's Word. You know, what pleases God? Wearing a cross? What pleases God? Believing. Believing pleases God. Believing pleases God. And we learn that in Hebrews chapter 11. In Luke chapter 8, we learn that the devil tries to take the word out of people's hearts, lest they believe. So, God wants us to believe, and the adversary does whatever he can to convince people not to believe. And believing pleases God, so believing is a very important topic. So let's review some of the basic stuff about believing and fear. The how of receiving is what?
Believing.
Believing. And believing is a law. Believing is a verb and it connotes action. We find the promise that's addressed to us, we believe it, and then it comes to pass. We are today in our walk with God because of our believing. We will be tomorrow where we will be because of our believing. We will never rise any higher in our walk with God above where our believing takes us. So that is super important. Man, we want to use what we got, all of what we learned yesterday. We want to operate the manifestations of the Spirit. Then believing is so, so important. Now, let's take a look at fear just briefly. Fear is a nasty four-letter word that begins with F. That's the end of the teaching. Fear is a nasty four-letter word that begins with F. Fear issues in unbelief, and it defeats the promises of God. If we get afraid and quit believing, we don't receive the promises that we've been given. Fear has ruined more men's ministries than any other thing. Fear prevents us from being the people that we would really like to be. Fear in cases, fear in slaves. Fear puts us behind closed doors. Let's take your Bibles, everybody, and open them up, and we're going to read whatever verse we come to. How about Song of Solomon, chapter 2? Song of Solomon, is that in the Old Testament? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and in verse 15. Okay. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and in verse 15. It says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender what?
Grapes."
Grapes. All right, this is an Orientalism. And in Bible times, Bishop Pillai actually taught us this. He was from India, and he taught us the Eastern customs and mannerisms in the Bible. So they used to have grapevines and fields. So around the fields, they would put hedges. And, you know, foxes, they weren't so interested in wine necessarily, but they really loved eating grapes. And so what they would do is they would try to find a little hole in the fence, a little hole out there, and then it would sneak in and it would get in there with the grapevines. And to get those grapevines and to get the grapes on the grapevines, what they would do would, they would eat those grapes and also they would uproot the vines out of the ground. So not only would they get the grapes, but they would destroy the plant. And Bishop Pillai, he taught this, as these little foxes, by the way, I do have a little fox here. Now this little fox, he's cute, isn't he? Would you like to hold him? Would you like to have him? Sometimes the negatives that we think, they're kind of comforting because they justify our unbelief. Oh, and they get in there, and it's kind of comforting. And they're cute. Bishop Pillai said these little foxes were negative thinking that we think. And those negatives that we think, and fear is sure a big one, gets in there and it destroys the fruit that we could have in our life, because that negative thinking, those fears, fear issues an unbelief and defeats the promises of God. Pretty interesting, right? And let's face it, we are tempted to have all these fears in our life, correct? I mean, take a look at Mark chapter 5, please. You know, when we have fears, maybe you go to the doctor and the doctor says, he calls you, or the nurse says, oh, Steve, we did your blood work and the doctor would like to have you come talk to him on Wednesday. Oh, we could think a lot of things, and the mind is a terrible thing and could just take that and go a long way. So we can go down that road. Sometimes we're afraid of bad news, financial news, or whatever it is. We get bad news. Does our mind go directly to God, or does we allow our mind just to run around? How about, oh, I'm afraid to speak in tongues. Man, if I'm afraid to speak in tongues, I missed out on a big thing, right? How about interpret or prophesy or whatever? Somebody says in the fellowship, speak in tongues and interpret, and I all of a sudden drop my shoe, you know? So, you know, I miss out on the operation of the manifestations, and that's no good. That's no good at all. You know, when I was a boy, I was afraid of stoves. Has anybody here been afraid of a stove before? See, I have a rare fear. When I was a kid, you know, goofy kid, I had a short sleeve shirt on and the stove was turned on high. And I just happened to rest my elbow on top of the stove, and I was branded with number 11 here for a long time. So I was afraid of stoves. Now they're my friends, okay? But I was afraid of stoves for a long time. You know, when people have been burned, they get afraid and they don't want to go to where they got burned. I didn't want to get near that stove. You know, in life, sometimes people might let us down. Believers might let us down. That has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with somebody not walking in love. And so maybe people go, oh, but you know what? Out of that fear, we miss out on the word. We miss out on the blessing it is to be around believers. Mark chapter 5. Some of us are parents here. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Mark 5, 36. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what?
Believe.
Okay, when Leet and I had the girls in the house there, the first verse we ever taught them was our favorite parental verse, Ephesians 6:1. That's always a good one, and use it while you can, you know, because once they reach 30 years old, it doesn't fly. All right, so you can do that. And one of the other verses that we told them was this, or taught them, be not afraid. Only believe. So if we have fear, we replace it with the word, and then we take the appropriate action on God's word. If we have fear, we replace it with the truth of the word, and then we take the appropriate action on our believing. So now let's take a look at some examples in God's word about believing in fear. Let's take a look at a classic in the New Testament, Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14. Believing in fear. Matthew 14. All right, Matthew chapter 14. I don't want fear to beat me. Sometimes we get afraid about witnessing. Oh, what's this person going to think? You got to walk through that and not let that put us behind closed doors, because that person needs God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 21. The context of this record is verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. 5,000 men besides women and children. These dudes saw a massive miracle. They had seen deliverance. They had seen something, just a miracle, very miraculous. And that's the context. And in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. And the disciples were in a ship. So he wanted to go and be with them in the ship. So what did he do? Did he rent a water taxi? A speedboat? A canoe? How did he get over there? In verse 24 it says, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. All right. So there was a lot of wind out there and heavy seas. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on what? The closest I ever got to walking on the sea was stepping on a puddle. That's about the closest I've ever got. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they cried out, it's a ghost, man. It's a ghost. It's a spirit. And they cried out for what?
Fear.
I mean, it's 3 a.m. in the morning or after that, and there's some figure over there in the night, and they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, cheer up, take courage. Fellas, it's I, you don't have to be afraid. Very cool. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come what? Bid me to come on the water. Now, I want to be honest, all right? There's Jesus. It's the middle of the night after 3 a.m., and he's over there, and there's the seas are rough and the whole thing. And Peter says, hey, if it's really you, I want to go over there. I want to tell you something. It was safer to stay in the boat. It was safer to stay in the boat. And if Peter plays it safe, he wouldn't have done the following. Sometimes we as believers, we opt to play it safe. But if we opt to play it safe, we get used to being behind the closed doors. And sometimes those fears come. And you know, then we think, you know, life is beautiful in my little prison. I don't want to be in my little prison. You got to break through and not let stuff like that get you. Hey, how about this? Verse 28, and Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. There's the promise, right? There's the promise of God. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to... Did he have to get out of the boat? Yeah, he got out of the boat and he had to put his foot on the water. He had to put his foot on the water, and somehow his foot didn't sink because he had the promise. Peter did the impossible. He had the promise, and he did the impossible. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. When he was focused on come, when he would had the promise and all that, he was walking, there was, you know, heavy waves, whatever, and he was walking on the water. As soon as he allowed the census information to get in there, and then he processed that census information ahead of the word of God, ahead of the promise, that's when the fear came. Hey, it was boisterous when he was walking on the water, and he was doing it. It was impossible. But he realized it, he processed it, he took that ahead of God's word, and that's when the fear came. And the fear, because he was afraid, his believing went down, and so did he. But you know, we could say, oh well, he sank, but you know what? Peter walked on the water. Peter stuck his neck out. Peter took a chance. He took a chance. He had the word of God. He had the promise. He walked out on his believing, and then he saw the results. All those other dudes in the boat, they might not have gotten as wet as Peter. They might not have had to change their clothes, and Peter might have, who, I don't know. But you know, Peter walked on the water. When somebody comes up to you and they say, Patty, would you minister healing to me, or would you pray for me? Of course, you want to check with God and whatever, but you know, you get the go sign or whatever to minister, or you just pray for him. I mean, you walk with God. You believe, you step out. When somebody says, stand up and please speak in tongues and interpret. Hey, those words got to come. Where'd they come from? It's like Peter walking on the water. You got to step out, you got to do it, and then it happens. How about witnessing? You know, you there and whatever, why not? Break through the barrier and just let it go. People need the word of God. Fear can put us behind closed doors, but we want to break through. Believing connotes action. Be not afraid, only believe. So in this lesson here, Peter believed and he did the impossible, he had the promise, and he walked out. When the census took precedent, then he went down, okay? Let's take a look at the Old Testament, please, the Old Testament. Go all the way back, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 1. You know, in our life today, we have the promises of God. We're to claim them by believing. Take what's ours by believing. We have all that we have in Christ and all those things. We have the promises. We're to claim them. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the things they were to claim was the promised land. They were to claim the promised land. And how were they to claim the promised land? They were to claim it with believing. So we're going to look at now two records in the Old Testament where they claimed it, where they were to claim it and didn't because they didn't believe. And then we're going to look at a record where they claimed it and they believed and they walked into the promised land. We don't have the promised land, but we have what we have in Christ. We have the new birth and its realities. We have, quote, end of quote, the land of promises. Let's take a look here at Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy. So, these dudes were just delivered from Egypt. Had they seen God's power?
Yes.
They saw God's power really big. They left Egypt without a fight. A whole nation of slaves got up and walked away, took some money in the process, and the Egyptian army was destroyed. There were plagues. They crossed the Red Sea and then You know, the Egyptian army couldn't swim very well, and the horses, and they disappeared. And God delivered a whole nation, maybe 2.5 million people, without a shot fired. Of course, they had, you know, machine guns back then. So God delivered them. And there they were out, you know, in the wilderness. Let's take a look at what God wanted them to do. Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy 1:19. And when we departed through Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I, Moses, said unto you fellows, you are come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us. Verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before you. Go up and what?
Possess it.
Go up and what?
Possess it.
Take what's yours. Go up and possess it. You go up. Is that the will of God? Yeah. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God of your fathers hath said unto thee. Don't be afraid, fear not, and don't be discouraged. Go on, go get it. It's yours. You go claim it. It's yours, man. Go get it. That's the promise. Just like Peter had the promise to come, they had the promise to go in. And God fought their battles, and they knew he did, and they just were delivered a whole nation of slaves. Verse 22, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and what cities we shall come. So there were, we're going to see in the next verse, there were 12 spies picked to go in there. Now I want to read this verse very carefully, and I want you to read it. What was the purpose of these spies going into the promised land? Just look at it. It's really important. Trust me. Famous last words. Okay? The purpose of those spies to go up in there was to tell them which way to go. But you know, they came back and they said some different things. So there were 12 of them, and they went in there in verse 23. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, each one a tribe. And they turned and went into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and they searched it out. They went in there, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again and said, it's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. So, what happened? There they were. They were outside of the promised land, and God said, go in. And then these fellows wanted to send some spies. Moses thought it was a good idea. He sends 12 in there, and they're to find out how to go when they get in there. And then they, you know, search around in there. Now, you could look at Numbers chapter 13. If not now, not now. You could look at Numbers 13, and it gives a lot more information. These dudes, they found fruit in there, you know, some really big fruit. They found a clump of grapes that two men had to carry it. Now, I've been to Whole Foods, but I've never seen a clump of grapes that I couldn't pick up with my hand. There were cities, big cities in there that all the children of Israel had to do was walk in and take over. And it was called the land of milk and honey. You know, who makes milk?
Cows
make. Who makes honey?
Bees.
Oh, they just go in there and they have cities and they have food that they don't even have to make. Sounds kind of like grace, doesn't it? You just go in there and take what's yours and you utilize it, as a lot of people have said. So this was a really cool land. Beats Whole Foods. Verse 26, notwithstanding, you wouldn't go up. Something happened. These guys were told to go in there. Notwithstanding, you wouldn't go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. What happened? What happened? They had these spies, and the spies came back and man said, these grapes are really tremendous. Verse 27, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. What? The Lord hated us. He brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to what? Does that sound like a statement of believing? Of more than a conqueror confession and all that? Something happened here. How did these guys, they were all excited to go in there, and now they don't even want to go in there. Verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Those spies came back and they said some stuff. The people is greater and taller than we. They're like basketball players. And the cities are great and walled all the way up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there. Those were giants, the San Francisco Giants. They were giants. Hey, so this sounds like sense knowledge, doesn't it? What did God want them to do? God wanted them to go in. But they came back, and these guys, there were 12 spies, and whatever these spies said poisoned the people against what God said. And sometimes the negative stuff comes from the people that we trust. And then that little fox gets in there because that door in the brain is open. Sometimes the stuff, that negative stuff comes from the people. So you know what happened? There were 12 spies, and of those 12 spies, two of the spies came back and wanted to go in. Joshua and Caleb. All this is in Numbers 13. The other 10 spies said, no, we don't want to go in. Those dudes are too big, whatever. They all saw the same stuff in there. Two of them chose to believe, and 10 of them didn't. Verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the Anakims there. Verse 29, then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Moses is trying to bring them back with the word. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came to this place. Moses is telling him, look, he's speaking the word to them and reminding them of God's deliverance to bring their mind back. Remember, if we have fear, before all those fears lodge there, we bring our mind back to the word and then we take the appropriate action. These dudes got poisoned by the other people. And here in verse 32, it says, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. They had the promise. They sent the spies in to do whatever. It was God's will that they go into the promised land and enjoy all this wonderful stuff. But they forgot about God. They forgot about his word. They forgot. And this sense knowledge stuff, the sense knowledge report was elevated. And because of that, there was fear, and fear issued in unbelief. Take your Bibles and look at Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. So it was unbelief that kept fear issuing in unbelief that kept them out of the promised land. And you know what happened after that? They wandered for 40 years in the desert, and they didn't wander very far. They could have gone in right away. But they didn't. They allowed the senses to take precedent over God's word. And because of that, they wandered around for 40 years. And during that time, a lot of those people that were there in Kadesh Barnea, they died. The people that had unbelief, those older people, they died. And then 40 years later, after that, Moses died. And then we have the record now of another time where God told them to go in. Remember, we have God's promise, and then we act on His word. And fear is kind of like a habit, isn't it? Fear is kind of like a habit, and we want to break through that fear. Number one, by putting the word on in our brains, be not afraid, only believe. And then secondarily, acting on that word of God. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 1. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is what?
Dead.
In the Hebrew, it's the hardest, kind of statement. Moses, my servant, is dead. Did that scare you? Good. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Did he have the word of God now? He had God's word. And God's word was, go in there, arise, get up and go. Get up and go. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. It's all your land. All you have to do is just walk over there, and it's all yours. Sounds like a good way to get some land, doesn't it? It's all yours. It's all ours. It's ours. God gave it to us. All we have to do is claim it by believing. Do you see yourself ministering healing? Do you see yourself casting out a devil spirit? Do you see yourself interpreting in front of a whole bunch of people? Do you see yourself witnessing, and leading some dude into speaking in tongues? Do you see yourself teaching? Do you see yourself overcoming fear? Do you see yourself standing for God and His word? This is not a game. This is for real. Do you see yourself confronting a devil spirit and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out right now? Why not? Remember, we learned yesterday, we have more power, right? We have more power. Some of the things I'm the most proud of in life are things that I know I could have never done. Things that I really just was dumb enough to believe. And then it happens, and then you go, wow, God is sure really cool. But we put ourselves in a box. We put ourselves in a box. I had a dog. We had a dog, my wife and I, and her name was Honey. Honey was a really cute dog. And one day, Honey, I used to have her on the leash because she would just run away. I had her on the leash, and have you guys ever worked with horses? So you have them on the lead, and you go around like this, and they all have all the fun because they're on the outside of the circle and they're going around like that. So being a horseman like I am, I used to do that with the dog, and the dog would go around like this and the whole thing. And boy, she would have fun because she would run and I didn't have to do hardly a thing. And then one day, I did a little test and I took the leash off of her. And then I started to go around like that. And she went around and around and around and around. She didn't realize that she was free because she had a habit of bondage, quote unquote.
God wants us to be free. The first chapter of the Blue Book, man, that's gold. Don't let fear beat you. Don't let the junk that we all think sometimes, fear, get rid of it and believe God instead. Be not afraid, only believe. Those dudes wandered 40 years and hardly went anywhere. And then God said, go in. And he told Joshua, really, look at the map. Maps are your friends. Look at the map. For 40 years, they went almost nowhere. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. It's yours. Take what's yours, Chrissy said. Go get it. Walk out on what I've said. Man, this is the land of milk and honey. There's buildings there. There's bees there. There's milk there and cows and black Angus. I don't know if there's black Angus, but there's a lot of different stuff over there. Go get it. Then he says, verse 5, and there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage there, Joshua, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua chapter 3, please. Joshua chapter 3. So now they're going to cross the Jordan. So this is a whole bunch of people. I don't know how many people are there, but some scholars say it was 2.5 million that left Egypt. I don't know if that's true. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and they came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. They were going to pass over Jordan into the promised land. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Ark of the Covenant, it represented God and his word. When you see this Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, ye shall remove from your place and go after it. They were going to cross the Jordan, and they were going to be led across the Jordan and led into the promised land by the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God and his word. When we walk with God, when we follow God and his word, we can do the impossible when we follow along on the path that God has laid for us. So, now we're going to go down here. We're going to go to verse 11. Here it is. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. That Ark of the Covenant was going to lead the way. God and his word leading the way. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the Ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. What does that mean? God was going to cut off the waters upstream, and these dudes, they had to walk out on their believing. When was the water going to go back? When they thought of it? No, the water was going to go back. We're going to read it here. Now, in verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they bear the Ark, as they that bear the Ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overflows all his banks all the time of the harvest. that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon the heap very far from the city Adam, that's beside Zaratan, and those that come down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. So what happened? These priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and the ark represented God and His word, they were the ones that led the people into the river, and it overflowed in its banks. This is a miracle. So the priest walked in, and the waters didn't recede right away, but as soon as they got right there, the water went back. Hey, when you speak in tongues and interpret, do you get the message all at once? No, I don't either. It's as you act. As you act. These fellas, as they acted, the waters went back. They went in there, and then all these folks passed over, and man, that was a miracle. Joshua had to believe what God told him by revelation. The people had to believe what Joshua and the leaders told them. They entered into the promised land by believing. The other record that we saw, they didn't enter because they had fear and unbelief. And to close, let's look at Galatians 2, please. Believing versus fear. If we have fear, then let's replace those thoughts with God's word and then take the appropriate action. We're to claim what we have by believing, just like they were to go in to the promised land. We don't want to allow fear to build up in our brain, because then we have a habit of it. We get it and we get rid of it and we replace it. Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 20 it says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, like we're living right now, in the flesh, I live by the believing of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live by believing concerning the Son of God. How do we live our life? We live by believing concerning the Son of God. What are we to believe? We're to believe all the stuff that we heard yesterday. We're to believe the promises. We're to believe his accomplishments. And then as we believe his accomplishments, we walk into all that he's made available to us. The children of Israel in the Old Testament, God wanted them to walk into the promised land. At first, fear issuing and unbelief kept them out. Then God told them to go in there again, and they went in there again. And you know what happened? They crossed the Jordan and they got into the promised land. Let's not let fear beat us in any way, shape, or form. If we see it, don't allow it and just walk through it and take what's ours, because that is what God wants us to do, and we have God's promise. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for this morning and thanks for how wonderful your word is. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.